This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 102.7 in Gauteng and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Well, the All Share ended last week up 2.86%. That was its biggest rise since early June. And while one had thought the weekend's positive trade and Brexit developments and a decent start in Asia would follow through at the opening bell, it was pretty way traffic deeper into the red today. The index now up 4.7%. That's the ALSI in 2019. On very thin trade today, we saw the All Share end the day at 55,193 points. Where are all the traders? Are they over in Japan? Well, Lister Mainchies, our independent financial consultant, is in the Fine Music Radio studio with your view from the market. Lister, it was a deathly quiet day, judging by that volume traded.
Well, good evening, Michael, and to all the listeners. Yes, a very quiet day, and for all that, interesting. The one that took my eye was Implats, which was the second highest volume, but also the second highest value, and it's not often that you see that. Behind Naspers and ahead of Prosus. Now, that certainly was when I last saw the market. Haven't seen the close yet. That's just because I'm, as you say, in a studio, not usual.
In the Fine Music Radio studio, without access to all the bells and whistles that one might have elsewhere, one can adduce from that volume, though, in Implats, that shareholders are still having a look at that deal with North American Palladium and wondering which way it will go. I see, was it Peter Major who said it perhaps wasn't a great deal for shareholders? How do you read it?
Well, again, if you look at the Sibania deal, they went for Palladium, but they did it quite a while back. I remember when they bought the Stillwater mine, they bought it on a price earnings multiple of 200, which I thought was incredibly rich. But in fact, the production costs were about 850, and palladium was trading at about 880. Now suddenly, palladium is trading at over 1600, and your production costs are probably about the same. Now I haven't seen the North American platinum story, North American palladium story properly, so I would imagine that much the same can be said of it, except that this time the deal was done knowing that palladium is already 1600. So I don't think it's a dripping roast, and I think that's what a number of people are seeing there. And, you know, long-suffering shareholders, you know, we worry a little bit about, you know, management, that every time they have money, they go out and spend it. And then when things go wrong, they haven't got money. So we don't get the dividend.
Yeah.
I'm being a little bit facetious here, but you understand where I'm coming from.
Well, I do entirely. Listen, I think the industry has to take responsibility for this well-earned reputation of being imprudent capital allocators, as you say. Allocating capital, perhaps at the top of the cycle, many might say, well, that's the only time they've got the cash to do these things. But at the same time, I get your point that long-suffering shareholders might say, hey, when's the time to either buy back shares or return capital to shareholders? Now, talk to me about the trade deal, because that certainly started this morning with a seemingly positive note on this phase one trade deal. And it was expected that it would spark markets today, but it really hasn't. Is this a sign that the market doesn't seem to be buying it?
Oh, well, again, you would have to be fairly naive to think that they could do something in the first 2 days. Clearly, the first 2 days, you shake hands, smile at each other, set the ground rules, discuss, you know, the agenda and what you're likely to do. And then a person who wasn't even in the room tweets and says, it's a great deal. My goodness me, maybe it is a great deal. We haven't even seen the ink on the paper yet. We've only heard reports, and so far it's terribly thin. Essentially, what has happened is that China has agreed that they will take twice the amount of agricultural goods and products from the United States. Now, that's very good for the farmers, and as you know, quite a few of those states were pro-Trump. So, you know, the little bit of this is payback time. And I think, you know, ahead of next year's election, you can't fault him for doing that. But again, if they're going to take twice as much as they did before, you know, where is the extra going to be? And I suggest, you know, that the corn and the wheat and the other prices that have been in the doldrums for 15 years might suddenly have a little bit of burst of speed, and that will show up in a thing called inflation. And suddenly Jerome Powell will have another thought coming at him. So I say, you know, you must look at the consequences of the actions, not just the actions themselves.
And we are seeing some of those consequences come through in company earnings. We're on the cusp of the third quarter earnings season. And the big question is, I suppose, on all equity investors' lips is, when will falling earnings hit share prices? Because we're expecting another decline in earnings this quarter, marking the third quarter in a row.
Well, again, if you look at the oil majors, and they are still major in the S&P, you can tell they won't be doing that well, because the oil price was down in the low 60s, even dropped a bit below 60 at once or twice during the quarter. So depending exactly on how they measure and score, you know, I would expect there to be a bit of damage there. And the banks have already signaled. In fact, you know, they've waved the flag already, saying, you know, things are very tough when you're dealing with negative interest rates. that is a complication for banking that you know, is not in any textbook.
Have you seen Greek bonds lately?
Yes.
The world has gone absolutely stark raving bonkers. Listen, I've got Stephen Barrow coming up a little bit later. I'm going to be talking to him about that in particular. Turning to some company-specific news out today, it looks like feathers are set to fly at African Phoenix's extraordinary general meeting. It's been announced, and it's an interesting story, African Phoenix, which rose out of the ashes of African Bank. And on the one hand, it's trying to sort of fend off irate preference shareholders who don't think they're getting a fair deal. And it's also got a new majority shareholder to deal with, and that majority shareholder appears rather unhappy as well.
Yeah, well again, extraordinary general meetings are a sign of some extreme unhappiness. And I'm not sure the exactitude of what they're bleating about, but you know, a recovery is a recovery. And gosh, there were times when everybody thought that African Bank was totally finished. There would be nothing. I can remember, you know, the death notices being passed out, and suddenly, you know, this phoenix rose from the ashes. Now, I still don't know who's getting the better part of any deal, but the fact that there's something there for people to argue about, I think, is still a positive story.
Yeah, that is, and Value Capital Partners certainly exited showing a nice little profit as well. Lister Mates, with your view from the market today, Pusaletso has the latest traffic.